I would encourage you all to sit back in your pew and try to get comfortable. I would invite you to maybe put both feet on the floor. Let your hands just relax in your lap. Let your eyes close. And take a couple of deep breaths in. And feel your body relax. And another deep breath in. And as you exhale, let the worries of the life outside of this place fade away for the moment. We meditate on a Sunday as a way to help you practice. Just a brief meditation to help you practice what meditation can be. It's gentle, it's easy. It's a point of relaxing and letting your heart open so the divine can speak to you in the still, small, quiet voice. And I'd like to take you on a little journey in your mind this morning. I'd like you to imagine yourself standing outside with your feet firmly planted on the ground. Feel the earth under you supporting you, holding you up. And I want you to feel the rays of the sun on your back, warming where you stand. And as you feel the warmth of the sun, I want you to slowly lift your gaze to the sky, feeling a gentle breeze blow into your face. Notice the bright blue sky, something currently we can all vision easily. And as you're looking up and feeling the support of the ground under your feet, you see small clouds drifting lazily across the sky, and you feel loved, supported, calm, at one with nature, at one with the planet, at one with the universe. And as you lower your gaze back down, you find yourself standing in front of a home. It may be the home you currently live in. It may be the home you grew up in. It may be the home of a grandparent that you love to go and visit. But picture that place, a place of love, a place of safety, a place of fondness. And then I want you to slowly walk up the path toward the front door, noticing any smells or sounds, flowers or shrubs that may be there. And as you approach the front door, you hear voices inside. There's some commotion inside. And as you reach for that familiar front door to open it, it opens before your hand lands on the latch. And as that door opens, you look in and you see it's filled with loved ones, friends and family, maybe some you haven't seen in years, maybe some that have even passed on already. And they're all there, and they welcome you in. And as they usher you in, they embrace you and surround you. Sounds of laughter and joy. And as you look around in their faces and you ask, what's all this about? They explain they're all there today in celebration of you. In celebration of the connection that you have with each of them. In celebration of the unique life that you are. And as you look around, face after face, you see the beauty and the love and the connections that you've made in this life. You feel the warm embrace of that love. And I'm just going to give you a couple of minutes to sit in the silence and share that space with those loved ones. Maybe you'll be surprised who you find there. And I'll bring you back together in just a couple of minutes. As we share the rest of this time together this morning, rest in the knowledge from your own soul that you are deeply loved for the individual expression that you are. Change your focus, change your life. That's my topic today. And I'd like to begin with a phrase that most of you, since you're sitting here in a Unity church, have heard. And that is, what you focus on expands. And since I know most of you have heard that phrase before, I just want to remind you that I don't know anything about God. But I'm here today to tell you and share with you what I believe. I'm here today to remind you of what you already know. And I say that I don't know anything about God because knowing anything in our experience here on earth comes from our intellect, from the head. Whereas me sharing with you what I believe is something I've learned from my heart, from the intuition that has spoke to me in the silence. And so today I'm going to share with you what I believe, not anything that I know. And when I talk about what you focus on expands, what I mean by that, if you haven't heard that term before, is that our experience in life is often based on our own perceptions. What we perceive each day, what we filter in through our five senses, what we filter through our memories and our experiences, creates a unique perception of what we're going through in each circumstance. And we have this power to land our focus on different aspects of life. And when we put our power into that focus, we find that those circumstances tend to expand in our experience. I was speaking once to a group about this very idea of perception, and I gave them the challenge to play a little game. And that was to pick something random, something odd, something fun, and focus on it and see how much it shows up in your life. And I gave a couple of suggestions, and one of them was red shoes. How many red shoes do you think are out there? Well, my wife Pam took that challenge on, this idea of red shoes, and she's like, why would you say red shoes? There's not really very many red shoes. I don't think she'd believe that now, though, would you, Pammy? It wasn't long before Pam started seeing red shoes show up everywhere. We were down in Portland, and we were walking through a mall, and we walked past a shoe store, and there were so many red shoes on the shelf, she had to stop and take a picture because she was astounded by it. Red shoes. And she keeps seeing them even today, red shoes everywhere. What you focus on expands. And does that mean that you necessarily created more red shoes, or that you just put your focus there and you started noticing more red shoes? I would say yes and yes. I believe that what you focus on does change your perception, and you become more aware of where all of those red shoes were before that you didn't ever notice. I also believe that the power of our focus actually creates our experience. So apparently my wife is a wonder at creating red shoes. You know, the power that we have to create comes from this thing that we often refer to as God. And I noticed this morning in the bulletin, if you look in your bulletin, there's a little article from Temple Hayes. And I didn't know that was going to be in there today, but in the beginning of that article, she talks about that traditional belief about God is that we think of God as this anthropomorphized being, this great man in the sky kind of thing. Well, I'd like to suggest to you today that what I've come to believe about God is that God is an energy. God is this divine energy that's everywhere. They've even discovered in science that there is a vibrational energy pattern that's there in the space between all of the stuff that we think we are. In Newtonian science, we think we're made up of atoms and molecules and all these particles. But there's all this space in between the particles. And what they've discovered in quantum physics is that in that space, there's a vibration that seems to be forming everything together. This force that's actually holding matter into form. And they refer to that as the Planck scale, named after the physicist who discovered this idea. And this Planck scale, they believe, is this vibrational energy pattern that connects everything together. Meaning, they found that we literally, physically, are connected to the pew that you're sitting in, to the people in the room around you, to the people on the other side of the planet. And because of this connection, they found another amazing thing scientifically, and that was this idea that they observed that an electron that was had a certain spin direction that had been entangled with another electron close to it, they could separate those two electrons by thousands of miles, and if they put a force on the one electron to reverse its spin, the other electron, no matter how far it was away, reversed its spin at exactly the same moment. Not even a split second difference. Which shows that this non-linear connection of everything, this quantum entanglement, they call it in physics, is present in our physical world. And that means that everything you do, everything you experience, affects everything. And we are vibrational beings. What we feel, our emotions, have a vibration to them. They send out a vibration that attracts like vibration and brings it into our experience. Whether it's red shoes or loved ones that you connect with. You ever met somebody that you just, the moment you met them, you just felt like, I've known you for life. There's something about you that I just connect to. Right? I see some of you hugging each other. That's awesome. We have this quantum entanglement that makes us all deeply connected. We affect each other. We affect each other's perception. We affect each other's experience of life. So the reason I bring this all up is where you place your focus matters. What you observe matters. What you observe and how you feel about it changes our experience. Well, not all of our experiences right now in the group consciousness of this country are very comfortable to me. How about you? And sometimes I get so frustrated with the way things are going in our country, in the world, global warming causing, you know, all these horrible storms we've seen, earthquakes that are devastating, governmental tensions, the threats of one government to another, all of this stuff. And I think, where's all this coming from? And all I can say is my belief tells me we have a group consciousness that's focusing on something I don't prefer. And I'd like us to change that experience. I'd like us all to change that experience together by changing our focus. I believe that we can change our world. And that we will start that change with our own perception. I want to share with you this morning a practice that I started about 2 years ago. Like many of the practices that we teach at Unity and in New Thought, it's been a transformative practice for me. Like the practice of meditation, when I first started to meditate, that was a huge challenge for me. I didn't grow up in an environment that taught me about meditation, and when I first sat down to meditate, it was this huge challenge to quiet my mind and listen to anything except this constant raging chatter, like Kevin's book title, that thousand screaming monkeys, right? That thousand screaming monkeys in my head. I thought, oh, this is easy. You just sit down and get quiet. The moment I got quiet, a thousand screaming monkeys. Well, with practice over time, that changed for me. And I found that quiet I was looking for. I began to hear this inner voice speak to me. And it was neither male nor female, neither loud nor soft. It was gentle and loving. Often it was a voice that sounded almost like my own speaking to me. Words of encouragement. Emily Cady teaches about denials and affirmations, powerful tools for helping to transform your life, because what we speak, what we say, reflects our beliefs and has power, has that vibrational power to affect the Planck scale. These are great tools. But the tool I'd like to share with you today that I've been practicing for the past couple of years is a practice of gratitude. At the encouragement of something I had read or maybe a speaker I had heard, probably around the Thanksgiving time, and some of you might be thinking, why is he talking about gratitude and thankfulness today? Thanksgiving's like 67 days away. Just to tell you. So eat up, start stretching those bellies, right? But this is so important and so transformative for me, I just couldn't wait until then to share it with you. But I started originally by waking up first thing in the morning. Before I'd get out of bed, I'd just lay there quietly and I'd rehearse in my head what I was thankful for. And I'd thank the universe for my home, for good health, for my wife, for my family, for food to eat. And I'd kind of go through this little ritual every morning in my head. Thank you, God, for my home, for my wife, for good health. And I'd kind of rehearse the same stuff over and over. Well, then Pam went to this training for becoming a prayer chaplain. And at that training, somebody suggested or challenged them to take on a practice of gratitude by journaling. And they challenged the members there to journal for 100 days a page of gratitude with something new and different every day. Not the same old, thank you for my home, thank you for my health, but something new to be thankful for every day. And so Pam began this practice. Well, about 3 weeks into her gratitude journaling, I started noticing a change in my wife. The usual daily stuff that would get her stressed out or get her kind of whipped up about things, she seemed calm about. If you were here last week, Reverend Annie talked about that upper balcony where you can move your consciousness and look down on the play of life. I saw her in that upper balcony, looking down on the daily dramas with calmness and peace and serenity. And I thought, this is really changing her in a really positive way. And so I thought, I got to take my gratitude practice to the next level. So I got myself a little journal and I started in my daily gratitude practice. And, you know, what did I write about the first day? Thank you, God, for my home. And the next day, thank you, God, for my health. And about 2 weeks later, I'm like, yeah. I kind of hit a wall. Now what? Now what else am I thankful for? And it felt like a little bit of a struggle at first. You know, and I woke up one morning and I kind of had one of those mornings where you look at the alarm clock and you're like, why didn't you go off? I'm running late, you know, and everything kind of goes wrong. And I'm like, well, now what am I supposed to be grateful for on a day like this? So I kept trudging along, trying to think of things to be grateful for. And I'd journal every few days, but not every day. And then we came across this book by Pam Grout, Thank and Grow Rich. It plays on the old Napoleon Hill book, Think and Grow Rich. And yet, I love her perspective in this book, Think and Grow Rich. And the rich she's talking about is not your finances. So if you're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme, don't grab this book. That's not what it's about. She's talking about the richness of life, the beauty and the depth of joy that we have available to experience should we choose to turn our focus to it. I'll read you a couple of quotes from her in the book here. This one is, she talks about this frequency of joy and gratitude as being our way of connecting to the divine, of channeling the divine into our world. And she says, until we get on the frequency of gratitude, our connection to this bigger thing is blocked. Our bandwidth can't handle the eternal, infinite love of the divine broadcast that constantly airs possibility and joy and freedom. We've clogged up the connection by giving the floor to our inner anxieties, our fears, and our time-sucking melodramas. I love this next line. Like Cinderella's stepsisters, we've crammed life's unending beneficence into our tiny shoes of old judgments and antiquated programming. No kidding. This frequency of the divine is the frequency of love and joy. I wouldn't tell you today that I believe anymore that God loves you. I don't. God doesn't love you. God isn't showing you love. God is love. When you feel love between you and another, that's God right there connecting you to. That's that invisible field. That's that Planck scale that we can tap into and bring more of that into our experience. That's the red shoes that I'm talking about, that joy and gratitude. And I love those words, joy and gratitude, because they have a depth to them, don't they? I mean, when we talk about joy, we're not talking about just getting happy, right? Joy has a deeper feeling than just happy. Have you ever cried tears of happy? No. But you've cried tears of joy, right? Right? That's what we say, is we cry tears of joy. Joy has a depth to it, a richness to it that's hard to wrap words around. But when you feel it, you know it. It moves you deeply. And gratitude, I found, is the same way. When I was having trouble finding things to be grateful for, what finally unblocked me was when I reached a point of humility. Because true gratitude, deep, heartfelt gratitude, comes in those moments when life feels desperate, when you feel like it's the bad stuff's closing in on you, and then the light shines in and somebody shows you a better way, and you go, oh, thank you, thank you. It's that moment when an unexpected check arrives right when your rent is due and you don't know how you're ever going to pay it. Right? That's gratitude. That depth of gratitude. As soon as I started unlocking gratitude from a point of humility, all of a sudden the earth was drenched in the presence of God. I was grateful for my car when it started because I know what it feels like to have one that doesn't. I was grateful for every bite of food I ate, knowing there's people out there wishing they had a single piece of that. I was grateful for my bed at night because I've slept on the hard cement before. I found myself grateful for everything. I found stories of individuals who have gone through cancer that said, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. It changed my life. Gratitude for cancer. I'm talking about radical gratitude that is channeling the frequency of the divine through you that touches your heart with joy and that expands into this time and space and lifts all ships with the tide. I'm talking about if we change our focus, if we look for beauty and joy and kindness, you're going to find it under every rock, under every branch, under every leaf that you turn. It's there. You just have to look for it. I see it now all the time. I was waiting recently to put in my order at a taco truck, and this mom and daughter were standing in front of me, this Hispanic mom and daughter, and the little girl turns around and she looks at me and she goes, "How old are you?" And I lean down, I go, "Well, I'm 54. She goes, "She's 24, her mom. I go, "Oh yeah, and how old are you?" And she goes, "I'm 5. I go, "Okay." And I put in my order, and they had put in their order, and we're waiting for it to arrive. And I went over and sat down in my car, and all of a sudden I remembered that in my glove box I had this little plastic heart that somebody had given me last Valentine's Day. Now, mind you, it was empty. I did my part to get ready. I had eaten all the chocolates out of it, but I still had this little plastic heart. So I closed it up, and I walked over, and I go, "Would you like to have this? Just to put something fun in it?" She looks at her mom and she goes, "Mm-hmm." So she took it. She goes, "Thank you." I said, "You're welcome." And it was just a moment of beauty that my heart connected with this little 5-year-old girl, this 54-year-old man, this little 5-year-old girl, never met. And yet there was beauty. There was love exchanged. And all ships rose with the tide. The world in that moment became a better place. Not because of me, because the divine was channeling through the two of us and our interchange. Acts of kindness, acts of beauty, they're all around you. I challenge you, go out and look for them, find them, notice them. When your heart is full of gratitude, there's no room left for arrogance. When your heart is filled with gratitude, there's no room left for hatred. When your heart is filled with gratitude, you have nothing left to complain about. When your heart is filled with gratitude, our world is filled with love. I may not know this, but this is what I believe. Amen.